Lent has begun and the journey to Easter we've started, and I can tell you are really excited. Well, it is also the season of honesty too, so. But there was a reverend who was, he was working in an inner city church, and on his way home, he walked down this dark alley, and all of a sudden, he felt a knife to the back, and the person said, "Give me your money." So he reached into his jacket pocket and started to pull out his wallet, but the young man saw his collar, and he said, "I'm so sorry, you don't have to give me your money." And the reverend went back into his pocket and he pulled out a cigar. And he said, "Here, take, have this cigar." And the man said, no, I've given up cigars for Lent." It's a little bit ironic. Life can be funny that way as humans too. We can give up cigars for Lent and still hold a knife in the alley. We can conquer one temptation and yet another one is right around the corner. It's a little bit like with the kids at Chuck E. Cheese. There's this a game that's called Whack-A-Mole, and these little rodents come up and you've got this kind of hammer thing, and it's like you bang this one and oh, another one pops up, boom. Sometimes life feels a little bit like this. Temptation is rarely just about chocolates or coffee or habits. It's deeper than that. Temptation is the urge to seize life on our own terms rather than to open our hands and trust God. That whisper that shows up in our hunger, in our fear, in our anxiety, in our desire to protect ourselves at all costs. And Lent invites us to just put it out on the table to say, "Yes, you got me. This is me. This is me with control and anxiety and worry, and I need to trust you." Well, this season isn't so much about self-improvement, but about opening our hands to God and saying, "Yes, I trust you." Adam and Eve's story is really the human story. They are in relationship with God. They've got everything. It's bliss. It's good. They have everything they need. They've got a garden of abundance, beauty, and companionship. Life is a gift, and they just get to receive it, hands open. Now, whether the serpent in the text is literal or figurative or symbolic or just a whisper, I think we all know the whisper. The whisper that shows up, you know, in our time, it's not a devil in a red suit and a pitchfork, but it's that voice in our head sometimes. Did God really say that? Maybe just this once. Well, I know better than that. Maybe I should define good and what's right and wrong on my own. Outside influence in our lives meets inside desire, and it's like a firework going off. Notice what happens. They linger. Adam and Eve, they linger with the thought. They entertain it. They step toward it. It's self-directed. They reach, they grasp, and the moment they seize it, life fractures. There's shame, there's blame, there's hiding, there's fear. They grasp at life and they lose communion with God and with each other. Now it's Jesus. It's Jesus' turn. He's in the wilderness, led by the Spirit. It's not by accident. The Spirit actually says, "Go on. Now is your time to face testing." He goes by obedient, he's hungry, he's alone, he's vulnerable. Adam and Eve have everything they want, and they fall. And Jesus has nothing in the desert, and he's able to pass the test. He's able to stand true. The tempter uses the same strategy. If you're the Son of God, prove it. Secure yourself. Turn stones into bread. Take power. Grasp it. Force God's hand. And Jesus doesn't budge. He holds the line. Where the first humans reached, Jesus rests. Where Adam and Eve try to define life, Jesus opens his hands and receives it from God, trusting that God will provide. The ancient story is our story. Everything done in darkness, Scripture says, comes to light. And yet we still keep things hidden. We still step into shadows. You hear about it today, powerful leaders seeking to success, celebrities, secret files, secret deals, secret compromises. No one wakes up in the morning and plans to destroy their lives. A connection to get ahead, a small little accommodation, a cut corner, and next thing you know, you're down a path you never thought you'd be at. Step by step, the drift happens. It's a strange how a thought can pop into your mind, and you're saying, where did that come from? It's just a big corporation. They can afford it. I deserve this. One Toronto paper did a survey, a data collecting survey. They said that 60% of shoppers, you know, go to Zayers and whatnot, 60% of them go to the self-checkout. Have you ever been to the self-checkout? I know there's a few baby boomers here, and we like, we like to go to the person, but 60% like to go to the self-checkout. And 36% of those, yes, 36, have left unintentionally with an unscanned item. Can you imagine? 36%. And of the 36, 15% admitted to deliberately exploiting the freedom that they have. 15, wow, eh? Theft is an issue for sure. Talk to a security guard at a mall, and they will have stories beyond your wildest dreams. But what's fascinating is not just the act, but it's the dialogue that plays out in our heads. We justify it, we rationalize it, we minimize it. And greed is only one expression. The church fathers, the ancient church fathers, I turned Irish all of a sudden, sir. And sorry everyone. Said that there were seven deadly sins, right? Seven of them. Pride, greed, lust, envy, gluttony, wrath, and sloth. Not because they wanted to shame people, but just to let people know, look, there are these disordered desires that we are kind of waging war against. And so it's important for people to know their blind spot. Know where you're vulnerable, because we all have vulnerabilities and blind spots. You know, just ask my wife. No, I'm just... At its core, there's the whisper from the garden. Don't trust. Secure yourself. And we all know the voice. But thank God for Jesus. With the faith of humanity resting on Adam's shoulders, he fails. With Israel wandering in the desert, succumbing to temptation over and over again, 40 years, they grumbled. David faces his tests, King David, and he stumbles too. Again and again, the same story, chosen, called, and blessed, and yet failure. But when the fullness of time comes, Christ enters the wilderness, like Adam, it's all resting on his shoulders. But guess what? Jesus passes the test. He stands strong. Like David, he stands as a king anointed. And when they failed, he stands firm. The true Son of God, the true Israel, our spirit-filled champion, he passes the test on our behalf. His triumph is our triumph. Amen? Amen. He proves himself exactly to be who God is. Said he would be, the beloved son, not grasping for power, but opening his hands. Provide. You are all I need. And he chooses obedience over self-sufficiency, service over self-protection, trust over control, and he overcomes. He proves his identity not by miraculous, you know, miracles, but simply by doing what he's told. Opening his hands and trusting. Temptation is the urge to seize on our own terms instead of opening our hands and letting God provide. Because Jesus did it, we're not alone. Because Jesus did it, we are not alone. We can overcome. There's a story about a bird that's flying high above in the garden. This year we put out, does anybody know what a suet is? We put out this suet, and my wife wisely broke it in half, put one in the front yard and one in the backyard, and now we have cardinals and blue jays and little parrot. What are those little ones called? Chickadee, because you hear them. Chickadee, 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 right? We've got birds everywhere now. It's amazing. But there was this one bird that was flying high above the garden, and he looked down below and saw that there was this cart. Someone was with a cart, and there was worms on this cart. So the bird flew down, and there was this cat with a cart full of worms. And the cat said, "One feather for three worms. One feather, three worms." So the bird was like, "Of course." Plucks his feather, goes back again, same thing. "One feather, three worms." And again, until this bird didn't have many feathers left. And then the cat pounced on him. No more bird. Temptation always feels like a bargain. Just one feather, one compromise, one step, but the cost is severe. We are fighting a battle that Christ has already won. We need to start opening our hands in the midst of the testing, in the midst of the trial, not grasping, not striving, but trusting. I wish I could have, I can't stand needles. But if I could get a tattoo that would remind me, hey, wake up. Silly, wake up. Christ is enough. His mission is enough for your life to be satisfied. His life and love is enough to satisfy the deepest longings of our souls. God's grace revealed in him is enough. We aren't alone. Our trials, we have to go through trials. Life is a test. And we have to go through it. God doesn't bring the temptation, but he helps us get through it. So open your hands. We have the one who now is praying for us. That great cloud of witnesses that has gone before us is rooting us on. Amazing. Jesus is praying for us. Grace means we don't have to fight so hard. Grace means the church is a kind of community that stands up for people, walks with us in our temptations, puts an arm around each other and says, "It's going to be okay. Keep going. You're going to be okay. Things are going to improve. Keep going. One step in front of the other." Here's the mystery of grace. I was reading the scripture early in the morning and this text, I'm like, where in the world, how am I going to preach this? And I was reading it and the thing that stood out for me, if you read a little bit more in chapter 3, the writer says that after the fall of Adam and Eve, that he put an angel at the front so that they couldn't go back to the center, right? And the angel's blocking. And I was like, what is going on here, right? When you read the Bible sometimes. Anyways, but I'm like, what is going on? And then I'm thinking about it, like, They couldn't have eternal life. If they went back to the tree, there'd be eternal life. Who provides eternal life? Jesus, right? Who is the tree of life? Jesus, right? Jesus is the tree of life. All we need is Jesus. God makes a way. This is what the church is about. We will face the temptations. We will go through the trials and the tests. But we will overcome because of the one who overcame. Lent is not just about proving ourselves, but about opening our hands and starting fresh. It's a season to learn how to trust. Learn how to trust God. There will be the whisper in our ear, "Seize it, go for it." But the gospel says, "Receive it, open your hands." So this Lent, when the whisper comes, open your hands. You have everything you need. The Lord is with you. His victory is your victory. If you fall down, you have Christ. Throw that back in their face. Child of God, son, daughter of the King, open your hands, receive it. Receive from him, and in his mighty name. Amen.